Karen's mother treated the wound with mercurochrome and a Band-Aid, all the while assuring me that Snooks had indeed had all his shots. With the bleeding stopped and me noticeably limping, I escorted Karen out of the house to go to a movie. Around the World in 80 Days, as I recall. As for Snooks, for the next 5 years, as long as the dog remained on the planet, he viewed me as evil incarnate, a reality that made going to the in-laws' home for Sunday dinners and holiday get-togethers somewhat problematic. So, yes, I admit straight out that I have dog issues. Maybe if I'd had a dog when I was younger and had known something about them, Snooks wouldn't have regarded me as a mortal enemy, but that wasn't the case. I grew up as the son of a single mother, an unmarried World War II, not quite widow. My parents hadn't managed to tie the knot when my father, a sailor based in Bremerton, was killed in a motorcycle accident on his way back home. My mother gave birth to me 8 months later, leaving her with all the responsibilities of wartime widowhood and none of the benefits. She raised me totally on her own, with no help either from her family or from my father's, by working as a seamstress. We lived in an apartment over a bakery in Seattle's Ballard neighborhood. The fact that we had no yard automatically precluded the idea of having a dog, nor could we have afforded one. What I do remember is that all my friends who did have dogs were forever complaining about having to take care of them. All this is to say that, as far as dogs are concerned, Mel and I might just as well have been raised in separate universes. Mel grew up as an army brat, but her family was always attached to at least one dog, as well as the occasional cat. Whenever her father was posted overseas, whatever pets were then in residence were carted off to Mel's maternal grandparents' farm near Odessa, Missouri, where they remained for the duration. I find it amusing that Mel is always more effusive when it comes to talking about her lifetime's worth of dogs than she is about Greg, her ex-husband. For example, she'd been far more dispassionate in telling me about coming home and finding Greg and her best friend in bed together than she had been when it came to relating the story of having to take her beloved 16-year-old Springer Spaniel, Marty, named after Marty Robbins, to the vet to be put down, because his back had given out and he could no longer walk. Her loss of Marty had occurred shortly after her divorce and just prior to her move to Seattle, where, I like to think, she had exchanged one old dog for another. Yours truly. Mel is something of a physical fitness buff. Before I got my relatively new fake knees, I liked to say that my favorite form of exercise was jumping to conclusions. I've upped my game in the walking department some since then, a lot, actually. But Mel was of the opinion that having a dog would kill two birds with one stone, get me out walking more, and provide me with some companionship while she was off at work. In other words, this conversation had been ongoing for some time. "Well," Mel prompted, "have you?" I had wandered so far off into the wool-gathering woods that I had lost track of her original question. It took a moment for me to get back in the right groove. One thing I knew about any venture into dog ownership was that with Mel working long hours and with me performing house husband duties, I would be the one looking after said dog. No, I admitted, not really. Which was probably not a good answer either, since Mel immediately got up.